Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker. And I've got a newspaper copy of the Malibu Times, May 7th, 2015.
From California, California.
On the coast. Now, this city has probably maybe one celebrity every 10 square feet. I mean, there's lots of them, right?
More than any other place on earth.
And you know, Bob, I saw your TV show years ago, and then the TV show unfortunately went off the air for, you know, dumb
reasons.
Bob
Enyart Live.
Yep. Yeah. And then you went on the radio, and it became a Bob trademark in my mind that you do this with the paper.
Crinkle,
so I finally get to do this.
You...
I get to wrinkle the paper so the audience can hear that I actually have a newspaper in my hands. And so there's a really neat advertisement you guys put in here for a talk that you gave out at Pepperdine, on Pepperdine campus. The ad reads, Real Science Radio joins Creation Evolution Talks on Pepperdine campus. This is on page two.
Page two, and right next to it is the celebration of a legendary Hollywood producer, Arnon Milchan. I mean, he's produced over 100 films, including the last two Oscar winners for Best Picture. So there's a big ad for his celebration, and next to that is the Real Science Radio ad. So we did a show this week on which of the Hollywood celebrities who live in Malibu get the Malibu Times, which of them are most likely and least likely to read our ad in the paper.
Yeah, and that was a cool show, but I'm real curious to know.
Yeah.
Let's repeat who those guys are.
Oh, yeah. The most likely to read the ad, we said, after going through scores of Hollywood stars, was Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
Now, he's a longtime, you know, major Hollywood star.
Silence of the Lambs.
But he, about a half a year ago, he was being interviewed, and he said he was reading Bonhoeffer, who is the Christian martyr from Germany during World War II.
Wow.
I mean, that's dramatic. So I'd say Anthony Hopkins was the most likely to read our ad, because the ad, we realized that we're not going to get celebrities to come to a Bible event on Pepperdine campus, Christian campus.
But who's going to read the ad?
Ostensibly, allegedly Christian campus. But some might read the ad, and we wanted the ad to be provocative and to send them over the internet to Real Science Radio at our website. So that was the purpose. But then the least likely to read the ad, we thought, of all those we listed, was Britney Spears.
Britney Spears, okay.
Although one of the friends of Real Science Radio, Kelly Klinger, she used to tour with Britney, and she heard us talking. We were talking about Kelly Klinger on Real Science Radio one day because she has real long fingers. And it tied into an evolutionary theory that when rats got long fingers, it helped them take flight.
Oh.
I mean, it was just the most bizarre thing. So she actually heard it. They live in Georgia, and she heard it, and she sent us a note saying, thanks for the shout out, but no, I've never started to take flight. She has really long.
Yeah.
She's a keyboardist.
She's never tried to
But take she a went
flight.
To Malibu to Britney Spears' mansion and tried to share the gospel with her.
Oh,
she
really?
Didn't succeed, but she tried. She went to Malibu, went to the mansion because she had toured with Britney Spears, and she tried to reach her to share the gospel, but she just never reached her.
Okay.
But at least she tried.
Yeah.
So, Fred, this ad right next to the producer, Arnon Milchan, says that the Pepperdine University promotes a Big Bang and an evolutionary worldview. So you're invited this Friday and Saturday to come to the campus to hear presentations for the alternative creation worldview.
Yeah, what a great ad this is. So you go on to say in the ad, NASA claims that confirmed predictions of the Big Bang validate the theory, but does that claim hold up to scrutiny? If you search online for Big Bang predictions, you'll see that Google ranks our article number one at kgov.com/big-bang.
Yeah, Big Bang.
So kgov.com. Starting to get their attention.
So, and it at least get anyone who reads this gives them an idea that, hey, there might be some evidence against the Big Bang if this is the number one article on the internet. And then the ad continues, if you assume that virtually all science-educated scholars, MDs, and PhDs reject intelligent design, you've probably never seen our list of the tens of thousands who reject secular Darwinism and believe in some form of creation at kgov.com/scholars-doubting-Darwin.
Boy, and that was a great show we did on that, too.
Oh, it's that really was neat so much. Fred, all our list shows are my favorite.
That one starts out slow and builds up to a great crescendo.
Yeah.
So the next, it goes on. If you've not heard of the greatest paleontology discovery in history, you might want to Google three words or just check out kgov.com/dinosaur-soft-tissue.
And that tells them that if you Google that, we're going to be right at the top because you could Google it or just go to it.
Yep.
So dinosaur soft tissue, they never heard of that.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people still haven't
heard
of it.
Hollywood celebrities are ignorant.
It's true that it is easily the greatest paleontology discovery in history.
Yeah. Then the ad says, and notice this ad, it's not just colorful, nice, pretty picture. It's got content. Like everything we do at Real Science Radio, everything in every way we could conceive of, Fred, we try to get people to realize that there is powerful evidence for our creator God.
And it's a good size ad, too. I'd say maybe about a fifth of the page.
Almost as big as Arnon Milchin's ad. The Hollywood producer of the last two Best Picture Oscar winners.
You're on half of one side of a page, and it's two-thirds of the way up at the size of his ad.
Yeah,
this is great.
It is. So our ad then says, if you're wondering how original dinosaur tissue, as published in journals like Nature and Science, from Triceratops, T-Rex, and Hadrosaurs, can remain soft over the eons since their extinction, you may not have seen kgov.com/list-of-not-so-old-things.
Boy, that's another great list.
That might be my favorite of favorites.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And then it concludes, so you're invited to hear Bob Inyart of Real Science Radio at 3 p.m. tomorrow, and then other great speakers and videos until 8 p.m. For more info, see kgov.com/Pepperdine.
Pepperdine. And Fred, the Pepperdine administration and the faculty there, their theology professors and their science professors, are hostile to creationists, and they're very tolerant of homosexuality, but they're hostile to biblical creationists. Bill Jack, who's really well known here in Colorado, he has a Christian Worldview Academy, about 20 camps in 20 states all over the country. He tried to get a cake made at a homosexual bake shop recently, and big lawsuits over it. It's an interesting story. To try to stand up for Christians.
Exactly.
Like the Masterpiece Cake Shop and Jack Phillips. So Bill Jack, 15 years ago, reserved all they need is dorms during the summer and access to the cafeteria and meeting rooms for his Worldview Academy 15 years ago at Pepperdine University. And he's signed up to have his meeting there. They find out what it's about, or he's in the process of, and they see the curriculum and they turned him down.
Wow.
They turned up. That was 15 years ago, and they've gotten a lot worse since.
Yeah. Well, I was honored that you shared with me your opening monologue, because unfortunately I couldn't be there to see it. I'd love to, but man, that was fantastic, Bob.
Oh,
is that going to be on the web?
Well, we'd love to put it online. We'll see.
Yeah.
But for people who want to get a preview, it is there right now at kgov.com, /Pepperdine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, Fred, it was a great event. A young gal ready to graduate UCLA in chemistry. She said she attended. She's a Christian. And she said she's had a lot of questions about evolution and creation, the Big Bang. But she was thrilled to be there. And she said she's finding answers through creation ministries. And that is so great because 40 years ago, there were no, hardly, big creation ministries. Now it's exploded. Evidence everywhere for our creator God online.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Yeah. And David Coppedge was there.
Oh, okay.
He attended my dinosaur soft tissue talk, which was an honor. He was fired from NASA, JPL, Jet Propulsion Lab, because he's a creationist.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, great time was had by all.
Yep. Well, Bob, you used to be a programmer.
Yeah.
And you wrote a really neat program back in 2009. and you published this.
You really want to talk about this?
I've been wanting to talk about this.
Display.exe.
And then you posted this on Theology Online, and man, you had people in a whirlwind.
For about 5 weeks, people were strung along.
Yeah, you really did string them along.
Because I was describing the functionality of this program, display.exe. And I even said, look, I'll post the source code.
Yeah.
I'll post a functional version of it.
You gave the features of the program.
Yeah.
And you posted the actual code.
Yeah. And there's a lesson to be learned, although it stretches your mind. So, Fred, at Real Science Radio, we don't only host a weekly science talk show. We invent things. We predict things. And we discover things. And so, I don't know if anyone else has ever invented this. So I posted on our theology forum. We have a theology forum. It's called theologyonline.com. Millions of posts.
It's extremely popular.
Tens of thousands of members. And it's hosted by the elders of Denver Bible Church. The church that...
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. It's founded and hosted by Denver Bible Church. And so, Fred, I don't know if anyone else ever invented this software. So... to help answer that question, I posted on TOL, theologyonline.com, December 3rd, 2009, the features of this program. I began posting them. You know, I talked about this on TV nationwide back in June 2nd, 1998 and before. So I don't know when we first divulge this.
Okay.
But should I go ahead and begin to describe the features?
Yeah, the features. Yeah, these are going to knock your socks off.
And as I did, you know, first I described the first feature, and then I let that sit for a few days. And the atheists, the evolutionists, even the Christians on TOL, they started really, what in the world is this program? Okay, software feature number one. I've written a software program that displays the code of other software programs. You don't have to have the other program available, neither the source, obviously, nor even the executable. You just run display, and it will show the source code of any other program.
So the program's called display.exe. So you run this program, and it shows the source code of any other program.
Yeah, which is, I mean, people have to admit, if that's true, it's groundbreaking.
It is.
I mean,
some guy compared it to, you know, Google. You discovered this before Google did.
Yeah, right.
That was one of the comments on the thread. There's lots of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a 17-page deep thread that lasted for 3 years, by the way.
Yeah, 3 years to the day.
Yeah, to the day. Right? Ironically, it started on December 3rd, 2009 and ended on December 3rd, 2012. But the thread's still open. Yeah. So if you want to go post on it, make it. You know,
we'll link to that thread. We'll link to that thread. That'll be fun.
It's funny to read those comments.
So you just run display and it'll show the source code for any other program. So that just can't be true. And maybe a little later, we'll start reading some of the posts.
Yeah, it's not a maybe, Bob. We're going to.
Okay.
They're hilarious. They're
too funny, right? At least the excerpts from them, sure. So then 3 days later, on December 6th, I posted software feature number two. My program also displays the pages of published books. Every book. And you don't have to have any such book available. The program itself displays the pages of any book.
That's quite a claim.
So now they're
starting to really get their attention.
They're saying that I'm, you know, I'm a liar. I'm playing a game. Maybe we should quote some of the posts now. I think we should because, you know, they know that I'm a talk show. So I don't just have an anonymous avatar and name, you know, Bob Enyart Live. You just Google me. You find out I killed JonBenet Ramsey. You know, my name is all over the internet. Everyone knows who I am. So.
Well, one of these guys, he said, I find all of this highly questionable. And so you replied back. So you did do some replying early on, and then you kind of let them, you know, stew over for a while. But you said, granted, I make a pledge to you. If I am not being honest about the features of my program, I will quit my radio show.
That's right. I said, I'll quit my radio show of 18. Then it was 18 years. Now it's 24 years running on the most powerful U.S. Christian station. So I'll just quit.
Yeah.
If I'm not being honest, I will quit.
Yeah.
That really upped the ante.
It did up the ante.
Yeah.
And I'll jump to the end a little bit here. I'll say that nobody really suggested that you should quit the radio. Even your opponents.
That's right.
that you should quit the radio show because they pretty much had to admit that you were telling the truth.
I was at least I believed what I was saying.
Yeah.
But how can anyone write a program that does all this? But I say that I'm going to post the source code, which I did.
Yeah.
Do you remember what language the source code is written in?
Yeah, just a real basic one, Visual Basic.
Yeah, that's right. And that's about as advanced as I could get in my old age, Fred. I'm 56. But so software feature number 3, I posted this the next day. My program also displays published text translated into other languages.
Wow. Okay. So translating it too. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So any text that's been published, it will display a translated version of that text into what language? Into any language, into every language.
Yeah. Any language that's ever been spoken.
Yes. And it displays the best translation possible. Not just like a Google Translate. No.
Yeah.
We're talking a good translation.
Yeah.
And again, I'll quit my show. And I'll repeat it right now. I will quit my show, Real Science Radio. Fred, you'll have to take over if this is not true.
If this is not true. Now, I do have a question. Will it translate it into Klingon?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It has to be a real language.
Okay. Well, there's some, you know.
They've got a vocabulary.
Yeah.
They've got
certain words
some
translated.
They've got a grammar.
Yep.
To the extent that Klingon is a developed language, yes.
Yes, okay. Just all checking. Right.
If it's a known, you know, language.
Well, you know, this next one is one that there was one guy that thought that he had refuted you on feature number 4, which is that display.exe presents a universal mathematical proof demonstrating that human creativity is not infinite, but finite. And I will jump, we'll get to that later, but he thinks he's refuted that one.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
It is.
I actually don't feel good about that. I've staked out the theological perspective on the internet for 24 years. And those who oppose the teachings of Denver Bible Church, Bob Enyart Live, if you go to our YouTube channel, just click on videos at the top of our webpage and look at the theology playlist. The theology we teach, our opponents could use display.exe against us. They could try to.
Yeah, they could try to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they've asked, well, then why would you publish this if your opponents could use it? And I said, because it's true.
It's truth.
Yeah. And truth helps us better understand reality. So feature number 5, displayed, because people are saying, well, what is it, like God's Kindle? Is it, you know, some whatever? I said, display.exe will display the text on scrolls.
On scrolls.
And that's handy because Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And software feature number 6, this was on December 15th, 2009. Yes, because I was asked, yes, display.exe will display sheet music. So a TOLer, Theology Online member, called the radio station, and I agreed to answer that question in this post. And so, yes, it will display sheet music.
So another guy, Stripe, he says, looks like it'll produce just about anything you want it to in text-only form.
Yeah.
So I like your reply. You said, you know, you thanked him for weighing in on it. You said that it would not only display the text of books, but also the photos that are and the captions.
Yeah, photos in the book and captions.
The graphs and charts and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And so then my opening post, the OP, that I like this approach of going back and editing your opening post, updating it,
mm-hmm.
so that people who come weeks into the thread could read the OP and they could get a good idea of where the discussion has gone.
Yeah.
I like that. Is that a common thing? Do people do that?
I don't think so.
I've done
actually.
That often. I like that approach. So then I put in the opening post, the startling implications of display.exe are far beyond anything the Supreme Court may rule in their current intellectual property case. And I link to that case. And then we get to the source code. But Fred, maybe we could read some of the comments, a few more of the comments.
Sure. And you know, your source code, I mean, it doesn't even fit one page.
It's less than.
That's impressive.
It's less
That's pretty efficient. That's an efficient program.
And Fred,
programmers will brag about how many lines of code they write, which is sometimes not a good thing to brag about.
Right.
Because this is efficient.
Because complexity, you know, we talk about the complexity in biological life. And complexity is an indication of design. But there's something greater than complexity, and that's sophistication. Because complexity, you know, you could try to quantify how much complexity is there in a program. But the shorter the program is, that can also support that same complex functions. Mm-hmm. That means the program is increasingly sophisticated.
That's right.
And so DNA and biological design in general is not only complex, it's sophisticated, so that it's not more complex than it needs to be.
That's right.
Because the same functions will do 2, 3, or 10 different jobs.
Yeah. You know, some programs that are bloated, they have a lot of useless, redundant things they don't need.
Right.
Well, according to Shannon, he's the guy who came up with theory of information. That's an increase in uncertainty. Information gain is the decrease in uncertainty. So keeping it more compressed is a good Shannon principle.
And Shannon information is a different kind of information than what we normally mean when we talk about information.
It's kind of the lowest level of information.
Static, for example. So yet display.exe source code in Visual Basic. And I hadn't done any programming since the 80s at Microsoft and the McDonnell Douglas helicopter company. So this was in 2009. I was rusty. I had a brush up. I didn't do it in any of the languages I had worked on early in my career. I did it in Visual Basic. And there it is. It's one page of code, and it's got some interesting variable names. Like some of it, you know, there's a bits that are true or false, and you display an array. And there's a variable called history written. And history written is a Boolean. And so there's some logic in here for n equals 0 to upper bound minus 1, you know, increment the bits. And then it says, if this bit is false or 0, then do this. Otherwise, do this, display. And then else, if history is written, is true, if like all the history of the earth is written, then do this. Otherwise, if history written is false, then do this other step until at the very end, n sub, you know, loop until n equals upper bound, n sub, and then a comment, history dump, world that is. The world history is dumped in n class, and that's it. Then we post a sample output page from display.exe, and that's rather stunning.
And that's at keygov.com slash display.exe, right?
Where this program will be, so people could listen to the program and look at
and go there
the
and
source
put
code.
In a few numbers and see what it does to the...
Because for one, they could load up the source code and run it for themselves.
Well, I actually tried that, Bob, and it didn't work on Windows 8. But
Well, you got to have the Visual Basic compiler. And do you have
that? You know, the thing is, though, I downloaded that program today, and I was a little concerned because it said this program may have a virus.
I'm not surprised.
It's not on their list of safe programs.
And I'm not a professional. What am I? I haven't programmed since the 80s. I don't even know what
I'm
doing.
We need to get Norton to say, hey, this is a safe program.
Yeah, right. So then we actually put online, so a sample output page, and then we put a truncated but functional running program. It'll run in your browser.
That's right. Yeah.
And you could see it run, and you could start it at different points, and it's just fun. It's a fun. So anyway, so do we tell people now what it is and what it does?
Yeah, I think we should let that proverbial cat out of the bag. What do you say?
Yeah, I guess so. Because one of the theologians on TOL, theologyonline.com, didn't he use that expression?
Yeah, he said, fess up, Mr. Inyart, and let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, yeah. So then I responded to AMR. I said, AMR, there's no cat in the bag, but display can show you the cat in the hat.
And it's true. It can.
Yeah. Okay, so what does it do? Fred, this is what it does. It takes a screen, a display, a computer display, let's say your widescreen HD TV, and it displays every possible image that could ever be displayed. Every one. It goes through every permutation of the pixels.
Of the pixels. Yep.
It does it in black and white, but you could certainly do it in color.
You could make the program a little bit more complex and do the color spectrum.
It would be. It would be a lot more complex because... You know, depending on your TV, 64 million colors, whatever. And it would take a lot longer to run.
Yep.
But this program does terminate. I mean, it does pass the Turing test. It is a valid computer program.
Yeah. It will terminate
eventually.
Yeah.
It'll take a long, long, long time. But it will show every possible image, because you start off with a blank screen, or you could start with it, and you turn on the first pixel. Then you turn it off, and you turn on the second pixel. Then you turn that off, turn on the first and the third. And all you're doing is counting in binary. And you count in binary until you get to the upper limit, and then you're done.
Yeah.
The program terminates, and in the meantime, you have displayed every possible image. And our displays are so high resolution, you could show the text of any page of any book.
Yeah,
absolutely. Any painting, any frame of any movie, and so on. So, Fred, why don't you and I discuss some of the wild things that this would display? And maybe we could do it in a funny or silly way to get people to stretch their minds and think about what big numbers mean.
Yeah.
Because big numbers are big. It's hard for people to comprehend. I remember being in high school and at a party with two engineers from Bell Labs. And we brought up, this is in the 70s, we brought up how many atoms are in the universe. And we knew the word Google back then. I remember them saying, well, it's way more than a Google, one with 100 zeros.
Yeah.
And I got a napkin and I started to calculate. And I said, guys, it's way less than a Google. You would need trillions upon trillions upon trillions of universes to get a Google number of atoms. And they're like, no way. They were laughing at me. Now there's the internet. Just Google it.
Yeah.
And you find out.
It's like 10 to the 80th power.
But yeah, to try to get an idea of what we'll show. So let's do our list of 10 crazy things that display.exe will depict. The first one is Fred, photobombing every photograph ever snapped.
Well, how about you and I photobombing every photograph ever taken and every frame of every film ever shot?
Ooh, together. That'd be fun. Our mugs would be everywhere.
Well, I think it'd even be funner if it was when we're in our caveman outfits.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it.
That's number three. Bob and Fred dressed as cavemen, photobombing every movie frame and every still ever taken.
Yep.
That'd be fun. Then there's number four.
Everyone who's ever lived, like Hillary and Hitler, photobombing every image ever produced.
Everyone.
Yep.
That's too much. Then there's everyone who's ever lived photobombing every image ever produced while wearing silly glasses.
Then all that with the sad expression, with a happy expression, with thumbs up, thumbs down, all kinds of things.
Every discernible winking expression. Then all those faces, but not imposed just on photos, but on everything ever seen by human beings. So you go out, you're walking on the beach, and there's Fred and Bob in their caveman outfits, right?
Yep. Then all those faces imposed on everything ever seen by animals.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Then all of that, but not with faces imposed upon them, but with symbol, every word, every number ever printed on a page of a book. All of that superimposed on those photos.
Then all of that upside down in negative, dark lights and light darks, like the shroud.
Right.
Mirror image, etc.
Yeah. So you get an idea of what large numbers mean. It means everything.
Oh, it's
in every page of every book.
Yeah.
And all everything scored, and a photo of every person at every moment of their life from every angle.
Yeah. So this is going to get to a point that's going to kind of reinforce, right?
Well, you could think about those who say that God knows every possible future.
Yeah, because that's what William Lane Craig teaches. He's an apologist, a really good one.
Yeah, but he's an old earther.
He's an old earther. And
he's a Molinist.
A Molinist.
Well, think about it in light of display.exe. I discussed this with one of William Lane Craig's assistants on that science cruise I took last summer to Alaska with the Discovery Institute.
Still
guys.
Jealous about that, by the way.
Yeah, that was so great. And this theologian who works with William Lane Craig had a very hard time defending that claim, that Molinism, that God knows every possible future, in light of our display.exe argument against that philosophical claim. Because the Bible doesn't say that, right? That's a philosophical claim. They're trying to take predestination and free will and show that they're consistent. That's what they're trying to do. And so we're arguing, since God's thoughts are holy, just, and good, here are 10 examples. Now that you stretched your mind a bit to think what all possibilities actually entails, here are 10 examples of things that a deity would have to think through in all their gory details, if in fact he was going to comply with that philosophical argument, that requirement that he had to know every possible future. And so with this list of 10 things, I think I'm going to have to ask Sandy to forgive me for starting this list like this, though.
Yeah, Fred. So Sandy's my wife, and I saw this list when I got in the studio here.
Yeah, yeah.
And the first one, Bob, it's 10, hard to read this on the air, but
10 examples of things God just isn't going to think through.
Yeah, and the first one, an entire future wherein Fred marries Hillary Clinton.
That's just, I mean,
oh, man.
Nobody could think of that. Nobody in their right mind. You know, it's true that God's ways are higher than our ways, mm-hmm. but God's ways are not lower than our ways.
Yeah, they're not goofy. They're not illogical.
Perverse. They're not disgusting. God doesn't have infinitely filthy thoughts of things that never happen and never will running through his mind for all of eternity. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's an absurdity.
It is.
But okay, the first thing.
Let's get past that one.
Yeah, okay. So sorry, let's get off that thread right away and go to number two, an entire future where everyone marries everyone else.
Like you and Ruth Gator Ginsburg. Oh, Ginsburg, whoever.
That's worse than Hillary. Yeah. Oh, that's bad. Like everyone marries everyone, regardless of relationships, regardless. Number three, an entire future where every woman is sacrificed to the moon god.
Yep.
That's Allah, by the way.
Yeah, an entire future where child pornographers rule the world. An entire future.
Right, where they
are. If you believe this philosophy.
Where they are the leaders of every nation, every church, because a lot of churches have false shepherds, of every business.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sick. It's just sick. Number five, remember George W. Bush, George H.W.?
Yeah. He hurling in Japan?
He threw up in Japan. Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, an entire future where everyone has an eating disorder and throws up on everyone else.
Falls into a premier of a country.
Yeah. Everyone they ever meet and they throw up on them. That's just like one weird future. Actually, it's billions of weird futures.
An infinite number of weird futures.
Number six, all the futures wherein each person murders every other living person. Like you can't get around to murder 6 billion people, but there are a billion futures wherein one, you murder your neighbor. The next future, you murder your neighbor's wife. Then you murder your neighbor's mother. Then you murder a different future.
Yeah.
You murder your neighbor's father. Man. Then there's a future where you murdered your neighbor's father and his daughter. Then there's a future where you married your neighbor's daughter but murdered his father.
Wow.
That's all. I mean, it couldn't be.
Crazy.
When theologians make their pronouncements about God does everything this and everything that, we call them the quantitative attributes. They all have to do with math, how much and how little.
Mm-hmm.
They make God sound like he's a mathematical equation. Whereas at Denver Bible Church, we present God with the biblical attributes of him being living, personal, relational, good and loving.
Qualitative.
They are the chief attributes of the eternal God. Those five.
Yeah.
The qualitative, not the quantitative.
So you mentioned an entire future where William Lane Craig is a homosexual.
That's,
with everyone else, gay or not, in every permutation.
Yeah, so not to pick on him, we're saying where everybody who you could think of who's ever lived happens to be homosexual or not in every combination possible.
Yep.
So you got trillions upon trillions of Googles of futures of who's a homosexual and who's not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's lunacy.
It is lunacy. It's just like your next one, wherein each person sexually assaults every other living person.
Right. All the futures wherein all those things happen. Then number nine, all the futures wherein each person uncontrollably burps at the most important moment of their lives.
Every bride in her wedding, when saying her vow, every person taking an oath, every person on TV, on the radio.
They just start burping.
Yeah.
Like in the presidential debates, right? All three. If Barack Obama, every time he went to answer, he started burping every time and he had a hard time stopping, he may not have won.
He probably still would have won.
Well, because he was running against Romney. So he probably still would have won, but he may not have.
Yeah.
the future changes if you burp at the wrong moment.
Yeah, it does.
In a job interview, you go for an important job interview and you just can't talk. You have a burp.
Like my dad, he goes to a job interview and he falls into the guy's Christmas tree. So I guess this means I don't get the job.
Yeah, right. Yeah, every version of that.
Yeah, exactly. Every version. That happens to me and everybody.
And you're driving and you're hiccuping uncontrollably and you go
off
the road.
He's hiccuping while he falls into the Christmas tree.
Yeah, right. And he goes to apologize, but he burps.
Yeah.
And number 10, the future wherein, and this is another theologian who I debated last summer at the Brown Palace, downtown Denver, on topics related to this discussion. Another future wherein Dr. James White, he's so well known, acknowledges that God the Son took on himself a human nature.
Because he denied that.
He denied that in the immediate aftermath of the debate. So did R.C. Sproul Jr. Mm-hmm. So that where Dr. James White acknowledges that God the Son is today and forevermore fully God and fully man, mm-hmm. you realize he's denying that to this very day. And that's shocking because he's considered a mainstream yep. theologian. So, Fred, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to embed our excerpt of that debate in this show summary. So if people go to rsr.org this week or at any time, go to rsr.org/display or display.exe, they will see the, what is it, a 2 or 3 minute excerpt of the debate. Plus, they could see the whole debate.
Well, they could see it, too, if they ran display.exe and waited long enough.
Yeah, that's right. You could see every frame of the debate and the transcript, which happens to be online, at least.
In big, Polish big and German and
chunks of it.
French.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll put the 2 or 3 minute excerpt where Dr. James White dramatically contradicts himself when he put in writing that God the Son does not have a human nature. That was shocking.
That was really,
it's,
really shocking.
And you know what? I don't know that it borders on heresy. It might go past that.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrific for a Christian leader to deny what has been affirmed, not only through the scriptures, we put every Bible verse that affirms that, but then even Dr. White constantly quotes the creeds
mm-hmm.
and the councils. And this has been affirmed from the early centuries of the church, consistently, without contradiction, that God the Son took on himself a human nature, and that he's fully God and fully man. For James White and R.C. Sproul Jr. to deny that in order to win a debate point in the aftermath of a debate that I think was very difficult for him, and that's why he went to that length to try to win a debate point.
Yeah, that's great. Put it at the end of the show summary, and people can go find out about it.
So display.exe, Fred, it's
very interesting.
It stretches our mind to realize what's involved when you get to very large numbers and you make claims, unbiblical claims, like God knows every possible future. That's crazy.
That is crazy. Doesn't make any sense.
And God's not crazy.
He doesn't deal in that kind of nonsense.
And God's not dead.
He's not.
He is alive.
Intelligent design and DNA.
And so our website, kgov.com. Or rsr.org/display.exe. And if you go to our store, get our science resources, or make a donation, please. We really need your help to stay on the air. And may God bless you.
Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.